you would join me in turning to Ephesians 6. We're continuing our series after a little detour in a series on marriage. Our passage today is Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, but I want to read a couple verses before the beginning of chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, and verse 21 for some context. This is the word of God. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And then down in verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Let's pray that he would teach us this morning. Heavenly Father, we need you. And we believe that you are faithful to your promises. And you have promised that your word, when you send it out, will not return void, but it will accomplish what you have sent it out to do. Father, we believe in your Holy Spirit, and we pray that he would be at work in our minds, and that we would hear your word truly, understand it rightly, and live it out. Pray this in your son's name. Amen. I feel equipped to preach this sermon because I've been a child my whole life. Some say that there are days I still act like a child. It's an interesting passage, Calvin's commentary on it. He asked the question, who obeys his parents? How many people obeys his parents? And he puts the figure, around 1 in 1,000 people obey their parents, and that might be a little high. We can't all have the blessing of being a child or having a child like my wife Elizabeth, and I have permission to share this story, but when she was a child, she would do something wrong and just run to timeout crying and throw herself into timeout weeping, and her parents would come over and say, "Okay, so what'd you do wrong?" We don't always have the blessing of that kind of obedience. We have here this passage where Paul speaks to children. It's in the context of this whole passage where he's talking about submitting to one another out of reverence to Christ. And that, in turn, is in the context of this whole passage of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to put off the old self and put on the new, and it means to walk in love. And so he comes to this passage. He's talked to parents. He's talked to husbands. He's talked to wives. He's going to talk to parents. He's going to talk to masters and slaves. But here he talks to children, and we can see four things in this passage. We can see who obeys. We can see what obedience is. We can see who should be obeyed, and we can see why obedience should happen. But first, who is supposed to obey? Paul says, children, obey your parents. And this is significant for a couple of reasons. First of all, Paul addresses the children directly. He doesn't say, parents, make sure your children obey you. He says, children, obey your parents. And this is quite astonishing, especially in this day, because you'll remember that the letter of the Ephesians was written to this church, and it would have been read in the service. And so Paul expects children to be in the midst of the service. He expects that these children would be there, and they'd understand what he is saying to them. And it encourages me to see children in our midst. I understand there's a time and a place for children's church and a time and a place for a nursery, and we want the children to be able to understand what's being said. But I love seeing children in the church learning what it means to walk in love and to be in Christ. There's a quote that I've searched high and low to figure out who said it. If you know who said it, please tell me. But this person said, "The cry of one child is more powerful than the chorus of 100 saints, because it means the church is alive." Right? And so when children cry in the service, you know, we all have the tendency to look and say, "Oh, whose kid is it this time?" But it should be encouraging to us. The church is not dead. I've been to churches where the church is dying. And that's not our church, and that's not the church Paul expected to find. And so we should encourage children to be full participants in the church. We shouldn't treat them like the church of tomorrow. I hate that phrase, the church of tomorrow. Anyone who's in the church today and is alive tomorrow is the church of tomorrow. Children are the church of today, right? So we should treat them like full participants in Christ. And for children, for you, this means you can't sit idly by and wait for real Christianity to happen to you, right? It doesn't happen, once I get to high school, that's when I'll be a full Christian. Or I'll figure this out in college. Or once I'm out of college and I'm settled, that's when I'll figure out this whole Christianity thing. No, you need to take hold of it today. And parents, you need to help them to do so. We all need to help them to do so. This could mean serving in whatever capacity you can to the best of your ability. This could mean not giving your parents a hard time on Sunday morning. It could mean not giving your parents a hard time when they say it's time to go to kids club, it's time to go to youth group, you need to go to Sunday school. This is not something they are making you do. This is something you should be doing. Paul speaks to children directly as participants in the church. And notice that he says children, full stop. He doesn't say children with a little asterisk, right? And that some restrictions may apply, right? All children, regardless of who you are, who your parents are, or what your circumstances are. Oftentimes, we hear God's commands and we put a little asterisk there, right? We say, well, see, I was born on January 18th, so that doesn't apply to me, right? TJ, do you know my parents? Have you met them? Like, is obedience really necessary in this situation? And some people have hard circumstances that make it difficult to obey, but Paul does not say that it's when we feel like it, or when it's convenient, or when it's easy. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. In fact, Jesus, in Matthew 15, he calls out the Pharisees for trying to find exceptions to this commandment. They were weaseling their money away in such a way that they didn't have to honor and respect and obey their parents. They were trying to find exceptions to this. So we should be wary trying to do the same. If you think about it, Jesus himself, as a child, obeyed his parents. And if he is not accepted to this command, then why should we be? Children, obey your parents. If you were a child, you should obey your parents. Well, what does this obedience look like? The word here in the Greek means listening under. So listening, but in under the person who's speaking. The kind of flip side would be listening over. If my son, Ransom, who's a year and a half old, if he starts speaking to me, he can make himself pretty well understood, every fifth word or so in there. And he can say, well, he can make himself understood that I want this thing. If I listen to that and then decide no, well, I'm listening over him. I'm listening to him, but ultimately I have the final say. But this is the opposite of that, a listening under. We hear, we seek to understand, but we obey. We listen under. It's not a matter of just like, yeah, whatever you say. It's seeking to genuinely try to understand, not looking for loopholes, not looking for outs, not trying to do the bare minimum, but listening under. It's the same word, or elsewhere in the New Testament, the disciples use it to refer to Jesus when he calms the storm. And what do they say? Who is this man that the wind and the waves obey him? So that same word is used, this obedience. There's an authority and there's a power there. There's also an honor and respect, which is part of why Paul quotes the Old Testament, quotes the commandment that we heard read in full earlier. He says we're supposed to honor our parents. It's like a little citation, say, if you don't believe me, look what God has always said. Now, obedience can be difficult. Like I said, I've been a child my whole life. My parents said that when I left the house, 80% of the whining went with me. For context, I have three younger siblings, right? So, and to be fair to them, that's pretty accurate, right? So obedience can be difficult, but God still calls us to do this listening under, to be honoring and respectful. And it's all in the context of walking in love, right? It's not obedience is the separate command outside of walking in love. It's all together. As we walk in love, as we love our parents, as we're submitting to each other out of reverence of Christ, obey your parents. I took the liberty this past Sunday night of asking the youth group if you, as a teenager, could parent yourself, what things would you do to help encourage obedience in yourself, right? And I've got a list here. And so, parents of teens, if you want to take some notes, right? One of them said that I would like them to treat me with respect. Another one said not to talk down to me, so to treat them with respect, to treat them as another person, not someone who's inferior, but as a fellow member of Christ. One of them said, share stories of when you were a kid and you didn't obey or you messed up, which can be a very helpful learning tool. Sometimes we set the standard for our children, like, you need to live up to this. And then in our minds, we say, even though I didn't. Right? But it can be helpful to them to say, you know, I didn't do this, and I love you in spite of your mistakes, and it can help encourage obedience. One of them said to understand how culture has changed, that the culture you grew up in is not the same culture they're growing up in today. Now, I would say there's a lot more similarities than people realize a lot of times, but there are changes that mean they're growing up in a different environment than you did. And understanding that and seeking to understand that can help encourage obedience. Said try to see whatever the issue is from the child's point of view, which I hope you would do anyways. That's a good practice when dealing with anyone. They said understand that especially teenagers can be under a lot of pressure with school, with college applications, with hormones, with all kinds of stuff, and maybe sometimes give them a break, right? Give them some space. They also said that it can be helpful to give incentives and encouragement. So, you know, not just use the stick, but also the carrot when it comes to obedience. Now, all these things, I think, to a degree, can be helpful for parents to help their children obey. But children, I'm telling you right now, if your parents don't do a single one of those things, you're still called to obey. You're still called to obey. Hopefully, your parents are loving and are treating you with respect and are trying to see it from your point of view, but if they don't do that, you're still called to obey. And that's a hard word, and that's very difficult, but that's what God has said. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. And part of our tendency with authority and obedience is to look for loopholes. And that could be wrong, but there is a good exception that needs to be addressed. What if my parent tells me to do something that is wrong? What if my parent tells me to do something that is sinful? What if my dad pulls up the car outside the bank, throws me a ski mask and a shotgun and says, "We're robbing this joint," right? And that gets to the heart of who is to be obeyed. We talked about who obeys, we talked about what obedience is, but who is to be obeyed? And Paul says, obey your parents in the Lord. See, we obey our parents not because they gave birth to us, they raised us, not because they're older than us, but because God has set them up as an authority in our lives. So when we're obeying our parents, we are obeying them, but ultimately we're obeying God. And so when the command of a parent conflicts with the command of God, well, we defer to the higher authority, right? So if your parents tell you to do something that is sinful, obviously we defer to God's authority because he is the one who has put parents in authority in our lives. The same principle when it comes to government. The same principle when it comes to elders. We're ordaining a new elder today. If the government or if an elder says, you must do this, and it is sinful, it is contrary to God's word, we defer to God's word because he is our ultimate authority. Well, also when it comes to who is to be obeyed, in this day and age, I had a professor in seminary who referred to the kinderarchy, where children rule the home. And I think that we can have a tendency to do that. A lot of times it can be easy to just defer. You know, Ransom screaming, cracker, cracker, cracker. And it's almost dinner time. You shouldn't be getting one, but sometimes I'm just like, fine, just take a cracker. And we can defer in other ways, but God has put parents in command for a reason. And they are to be the ones that are obeyed, not the children. Parents are an authority. They have experience. They have insight. If they're believers, then they have a faith and a maturity in that faith that they can convey to their children who may not be able to see why this obedience is important, but they still should obey it. Another important question to ask is, how long do I have to obey, right? I'm holding on hope. How much longer do I have to obey my parents? Is it 18? Ding, 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 I'm done? Well, the long answer is as long as you're in their household. And we can see this in this passage as Paul's dealing with the Christian households. This command is given. And so when he addresses children, he's addressing children in the household. And you also see this as he says, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. That's a change in the relationship. And in today's economy, in today's culture, sometimes that in the household line is a little blurry. But that's the command that God gives. That if you are in the parents' household, if you're under their command, their influence, their benevolence, you should obey them. And that's the long answer. But the short answer is this. You should never stop obeying your parents, right? Whether you're 21, out of college, out of the house, no more living with your parents, whether you're 35 and you find yourself back under your parents' roof, whether you're 65 and your elderly aging parents comes to live in your house, you're still to obey your parents. Now, the relationship changes. It's no longer a command, do what I say, invest all my money in this prince who says he's going to give me a bunch of money. But we still give deference, we still give respect, we still give honor to our parents, no matter what our position, no matter what our address. We still to obey our parents. So we've seen who should obey. We've seen what obedience is and who is to be obeyed. But now we'll see why we should obey. And again, the short answer is, it is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is right because God has decided so. We don't get to decide what is right. If I got to decide what is right, you would not want to live in that country. Right? God decides what is right. Sometimes we can think, we can be looking for other reasons. Why should I follow God's command? Well, what are the reasons behind doing it? It's never a bad reason to obey God's command because he says so. God says so, and so we should obey our parents. God is the Lord of creation. He controls all things, and if he gives a command, he gives it for a reason, and we should obey it, even if we don't understand that reason. But Paul also points to another reason we should obey, and that is that God promises to bless us, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. God has promised to bless us. And this doesn't mean obedient children will live a long time. Disobedient children will die before high school. That's not what it means, right? Some obedient children will not live long and prosper. Some disobedient children will live long lives, will have success, will elect them to public office. It happens all the time. It's not like God is a vending machine in the sky and we can put in obedience to parents and get out long life, right? But God has promised to bless his people. God has promised to bless his people in this life or in the next. And one of the ways we demonstrate, one of the ways we prove that we are God's people is by obeying our parents. Proverbs 14, verse 11 says, "The house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish." The house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish. And the wicked and the upright isn't based on our behavior. That's not what makes us righteous or makes us unrighteous. God makes us righteous. But if we are made righteous, if we are in Christ, if we are walking in love, then that will be our changed heart will be reflected in the obedience we give to our parents. Disobedience is not right, and the wrongness of it can cause difficulty in our lives, and it can cause difficulty in the lives of the people around us. Right? A disobedient child doesn't just bring a curse on himself, brings a curse on his family, his siblings, his parents, those around him. Similarly, an obedient child doesn't just bless himself, he blesses those around him because God is blessing him in Christ. So what do we do with all this? What does this mean for you on Tuesday? What does this mean for you over Thanksgiving with your family? What does this mean in the years to come? Well, if you're a child still living at home, obey. Period. Even when it's hard, even when you don't feel like it, even when you think your parents are dead wrong, if they could only see it your way, obey and do it in love. Do it without the eye roll, without the whining. Parents, try to foster an environment that encourages loving, godly obedience. Don't rule like a tyrant. Don't acquiesce to whatever they want, but create an environment where you're lovingly shepherding your child's heart and you're lovingly making it easy for them to obey as much as you're able. Children who are out of the house, how do you talk to your parents? How do you engage with them? Do you listen to them, or are you just like, yeah, whatever? Are you rejoicing that you're finally free of their yoke? Or are you looking at them thankfully for their years of guidance and wisdom that they poured into you? Empty nesters, are you still treating your children like they're in your house? Hoping that they will listen to your commands. If they would just do this, their lives would be perfect. Or are you respecting the freedom granted to them by God? Still trying to shepherd them and love for them and care for them and pour wisdom and insight into them, but recognizing that they're no longer in your house. If your parent is not a believer, well, your obedience is an opportunity for you to demonstrate to them the love of Christ. Submitting to them, not because of their authority, but because of God. Submitting to them out of reverence for Christ, and showing them what a changed heart can do and the blessings associated with it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I had a professor in seminary who said, this is my favorite verse. And he tried to make it, if I remember correctly, he tried to make it his daughter's favorite verse. He's like, this is your favorite verse now. We can't force obedience from children, right? This week I've tried to force feed a toddler. It doesn't work out very well. We can compel obedience some of the times, maybe even most of the times, but we can't forever and always compel obedience. This ultimately comes down to children. So children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, even when we find it difficult to follow, even when it makes us uncomfortable. Father, we pray that we would recognize you as the ultimate authority in our lives, and we recognize your wisdom and your knowledge and your power. And as you have commanded us to obey our parents, Father, that we would do so, that we would obey our parents in you, for this is right, Father. And we pray that you would bless us, that you would bless our parents, that you would bless our homes and our communities as a result. And we pray that we wouldn't do it for the blessings, but that you would bless us nonetheless. Father, I thank you so much for the gift of your Son, who enables us to even begin down this path of obedience, to walk in love. And we pray all this in his name. Amen.